Morning. It's also a pleasure for me to be here. I hope that I can speak the truth and speak it in as much wisdom as possible this morning. I guess I'll start out by telling a story without getting too personal. This is kind of a something that just happened to me recently without any details. First, I'll tell you I'm supposed to be talking about how God is faithful this morning. And just recently, I had been praying pretty earnestly for something to work out for me because I thought it would make me a stronger Christian and a better person. I thought it would be good for me. And it didn't work out. And I tell you that because sometimes, even though I believe what I'm getting ready to tell you with all my heart, it doesn't make it any easier sometimes. Sometimes we do feel let down. But if you'll talk to anybody who has any age on them, and if they had not let their heart be filled with bitterness, they can usually look back and say that things always do work out for the best if you let God handle it. So again, I guess I'll just start out by reading 1 Corinthians 10:13 again, even though you've already heard it and you probably all have it memorized. "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make you a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, I was asked to speak on the second portion of this verse, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able." I'd like to start out by subdividing this into two parts. God is faithful, and then, of course, later, we'll talk a little bit about how He won't suffer us to be tempted above our capabilities. If you Google faithful, the first thing that's going to come up is that it's an adjective, and it means loyal, constant, and steadfast. Some synonyms would be loyal, constant, true. Remember that one. I'm going to be coming back to it. Devoted, true blue, unswerving, staunch, steadfast, dedicated, committed. The God we serve is, by definition, faithful. That statement is made here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's also made in 1 Corinthians 1:9, Isaiah 49:7, and 2 Corinthians 1:18. In John the 14th chapter, in the 6th verse, Christ says, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." Just by knowing that, we are guaranteed two things. One, He is exact. 1 John, the first chapter in verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God can be counted on. He is what He says. There are no discrepancies. This is a great gift to us in itself this day and age, to have something in our lives that is what it says and says what it is. God, including Christ and His church, is a rock to tie on while the world we live in is full of half-truths and evil. The second thing we are guaranteed by the statement that God is true and that Christ is true is that He is constant and unchanging. You all know Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is also an invaluable promise. Think about it for a minute. What in your life is never going to change? The fact of the matter is, everything changes at one point or another. Now, don't get me wrong. Change is often good for us. But it can be very draining. Especially these younger people, if you have not experienced it yet, I'll tell you, sometimes it's going to feel like the world is crumbling and falling down all around you. But remember this. God is always there. He is the definition of consistency. When we are brought to our knees, we can always look up or look around and see God. I'm going to fail you. People are going to fail you. And you are going to fail yourself. Most people, we call it life. But God will never fail you. He is always there. And to be able to use definite terms and exclusive words like that is not even possible when referring to our everyday lives here on earth. God is faithful. Isn't that a beautiful statement? How is He faithful? Our Lord keeps His promises. And if you don't believe me, look to the Old Testament. God made a promise to Abraham that He would make a great nation of him. Did it come true? God made a promise to Noah that we'd never again flood all the earth with water. Has He kept His promise? God has promised us a home in heaven if we put on Christ in baptism and live our lives in accordance with His commands. Through that promise, we can look to the future for hope when today isn't going so great. Tomorrow will be better. As we saw earlier, being faithful can also mean being committed. If the fact that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to die for our sins so that we might be with Him for eternity doesn't show that God is committed to our well-being, I don't know what does. It may be important for us to note here that the great love God has for us is, as far as I can tell, the reason He is so faithful. And our love for Him is inevitably what will cause us to stay faithful in the end. If you think about it for a second, how God's people forsook Him in the past, you know, like even David, yet God stood by them. Even when His people were in captivity, God saw to it that Jerusalem was taken care of and that the people that loved Him still prospered. In God's love and faithfulness, He has provided for us today two things in particular. In John, the 14th chapter, Christ promises a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our Christian walk. He helps us to pray in Romans, the 8th chapter. He sharpens our conscience, John chapter 16, as well as helping and guiding our minds to understand the deeper things of God, 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, along with many other things that I didn't want to make a lesson out of this morning, because there's lessons and lessons and weeks of studying that you can do on the Holy Spirit and His role in the Godhead and in our lives. But the other thing, how many of you like lists? You raise your hands if you want. I love lists. Okay, they help me make sure I don't forget anything. I make lists from everything from deciding who I want to marry to what I want at the store. But I can only hope my lists are complete. What about instructions? For those of us who actually read them, what if there's a page missing from the instructions? What if we make an agreement, but there was some fine print we overlooked? There is, for me anyway, a constant stress in life that comes from wondering whether or not I'm right. I wonder if I have all the necessary information in order to make a decision. Mostly, if I'm not careful, I tend to worry about the unknown. With God, this is not necessary. 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 3 says, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You know what that means? To me, that means we can know all we need to in order to be saved through the Bible. We have been given everything we need. We can count on the fact that there will be no last-minute alterations to our responsibilities as Christians. Our list is in front of us. It is complete. There are no pages missing in the directions, no fine print. Our God is faithful. Another way that God is faithful is by what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10 chapter and 13th verse. He won't cause us to fail. The Lord supports us and wants us to succeed. So he's not going to allow us to be tempted above our capacity to resist. And on a slight side note, it is valuable to note what Romans 8:28-32 says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We must have faith that the Lord has what is best for us in mind. And if we have the Lord on our side, the God who spoke the world into existence, who held back the sun, who flooded the entire earth, if we have him on our side and we're doing our bit, we cannot truly fail. He won't tempt us above that which we are able. The Lord has given us the tools to succeed, and hopefully I won't dig into Destry's topic too much. He has provided us the ability and the resources to overcome our temptations. We have the Bible and the examples within, and they allow us to see how the devil works and on what levels we can expect to be tempted. We can overcome. Again, we've been given the tools. We can know all about our adversary. I'd like to read Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And also, everybody probably knows what Philippians 4 and 13 says, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have been given the tools to succeed, the tools to overcome our temptations. Our God is faithful. One question you might have been asking yourself this entire time is why, if the Lord is so good, if the Lord is so faithful, why bother tempting us at all? Why does our life seem to be so hard at times? God is so faithful. I'd like to read from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Through our temptations we are made complete. We are strengthened. The Lord does not tempt. He can have no communion with evil. But he allows the devil to tempt us so that we might be strengthened in his ways and be better Christians. And when you look at it that way, you can realize that God really is faithful. There's one more promise I'd want to bring to your attention. Let's turn to Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I find these verses to be a great comfort. I'm 20 years old. I'm still at the stage of my life that, at least the older you teenagers are anyway, are in yourselves. We have a lot of big decisions to be making in our lives right now. We're not always going to make the right ones. So not only must we deal with the stress of making our big decisions, but we must also live with the consequences of the mistakes that we make, we are making, and we have made. Which at this point in our lives, with the decisions we're making, considering the long-lasting effects of those decisions, that has the capability to be monstrous. Now, I'm here to tell you that I've been there and I am there. And I know what this life throws at teenagers today. And it can be rough. You're still figuring things out. You're at a time when you consider and question everything you are and everything you've ever been told and everything there is. But I have two pieces of advice for you for when it gets rough. I suppose these must be right because I used to not do this, and now I do, and I'm better off. So, the first thing is find someone you can confide in. Yeah, maybe you're a strong person. Maybe you can handle your issues yourself. Maybe you don't want to bother somebody else with your problems. I didn't realize that might be an issue, but it might. And I might address that right now. When you go to somebody else and they can see that you're going through something too, it makes their own problems seem about like that. And it helps them feel a lot better about themselves because they see you in need and all of a sudden they're not wallowing in self-pity anymore. They stand up and they pack you right along, don't they? Maybe you can handle your issues yourself. That's what I used to think. I did all right, I suppose. Not really. Why risk it? Why waste precious time and energy working through something on your own when you could have help? I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and I asked her, do you want to be the best you can be? You can't be the best you can be if you're struggling through something. It's too draining. It takes too much of your energy. It takes too much of your time. Talk to someone. And the second piece of advice I have is talk to God. This is also something I struggled with more in the past than I do now. I always had this nonchalant attitude that God will help me if He wants and He won't if He don't want. Sometimes it made me wonder why bother. Why bother praying, you know? Things are going to go how they're going to go. But I prayed anyway. And now I pray for a good night's rest, a reduction of stress, for a girl in my future, for success on the test I'm getting ready to take. What I really pray for, though, is for peace. And that's a hard thing for someone with a mind as busy as my own to acquire. But let me tell you, it is possible. I have felt it for at least brief periods. I could lay down at night without a care in the world and sleep like a child. I can't even express how big a deal that is. I can't even say it. Could I have had that without God? My answer to that is no. My God is faithful. He wants me to succeed. He wants you to succeed. Trust in Him. Give Him your burdens. Turn to Him when you are weak. Turn to Him when your darkened eyes see no hope for tomorrow. Find others with the same ideals and do it with them. The two of you and God. Be all you can be. The Lord will help. In fact, when it comes right down to it, He's the reason you be at all. And with that, another thing I used to not understand so well is how Christ could say His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Who thinks it's easy to be a Christian? Is it the easiest thing in the world to swim upstream or not do what your friends are doing? Or do the right thing when nobody's watching? Nobody will see. Is it easy to be a Christian? Not in that way, it's not. It's pretty difficult. The reason Christ's yoke is easy and His burden is light, to me, is because God does have what's best in mind for us. And because His instructions for the way we should live our lives inevitably turn out for the best. I can't tell you, we talked about our sexual desires earlier. Jake talked about those, addressed those. I can't tell you how many people I've seen take things way too fast, and it ruined their relationships, and it set them back years as people. There's a reason God says we should wait. Now, yeah, He commanded it, but boy, we're better off, let me tell you. And that's just one example. You can talk about how family's supposed to work. You can talk about anything. And you're going to find out that the way God says to do it is the way it ought to be done. And your life will be a lot easier. Let me leave you with this. It's called Footprints in the Sand. It's probably one of my favorite writings. I was so disappointed when I looked it up because it's on its official website. It had all sorts of errors. It's awful. So I fixed it, some of it. And anyway, you get a little bit of a modified version, I suppose, with the points the same. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there was only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed You, You would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed You the most, were You not there for me?" The Lord replied, "The times when You have seen only one set of footprints are the times when I carried You."